or make money. So remember those kids, they're going to be gone 5.5, 6 weeks of the summer away from their families. Scary or exciting or both. So keep them in your prayers this summer. In a moment, we'll let the kids go to children's church. Don't panic. Don't panic. My kids are still on the bench with me. All right. Now we'll let the kids go to children's church. So ages 3 to 5th grade have classes available over in the East Wing. Parents, if you would sign your children in, and remember to sign them out after service. And junior high and high school, you have your class over in the East Wing in the conference room. And if you have children 0 to 2 years of age, you can have them right here with you, or you can take them to the nursery, which is behind the window titled bookstore in the back there. So feel free to take your children there. And if you have a spouse and you're not falling into that category, you have to stay in here and have a seat. Or if you don't have a spouse. All right. Look at all those kids. Half the building just emptied out. That's great. That's great. We could not have a need for Sunday school classes for children. That would be sad, but we could not have that need. So it's a great privilege to have to build on a wing so you can house children in their classrooms. So that's a blessing from God. His word tells us children are a blessing from God. Yeah, so we need to look at them as such and begin preparing and planning for their futures. And so they love children too when they grow old and cranky like us. So we're in the middle of our Cross Point series. Rather, toward the end of it now. We're on our number 3, our third point of the cross. The first one, okay, this is really technical, so you got to pay attention, because the first one is the point that goes into the ground. Okay, we're grounded. We should be grounded in the Word of God. We should be grounded in Christ, who He says we are. And then last week, we looked at the left point of the cross. Now, I know I messed some of you up with my English last week when we had to left it. But this week we're going to write it. Okay, it's pretty technical terms here. You got to get a hold of them. So how many of you last week left some things as you went about your week? And said, that's not something God wants me to have a hold of. That's not something God's placing on my life. So I left it where I found it. Or I left it where I was and walked away from it. Well, this week we're going to write it. The third point of the cross. The right arm of the cross. We're going to write it. Do you know you need some writing done in your life? Sometimes we're just a mess. Sometimes we need Jesus to swoop in and write us. Can we talk to God for a minute? That's okay? All right. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that we can be here. God, to learn of your word, God, the truth there in it. And God, we ask you to open our minds, our hearts, God, to receive all that you would have for us today. God, that we would absorb the wisdom, the knowledge, God, of your scriptures, of your word. God, that we would fill your heart. And God, that we would act more like you each and every day. God, use us today to bring you glory as we drink in of your word, of your truth. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So what do you think of when you think right? Right now? Right then? Right left? Right and wrong? Write it down? Doing things right? Of course, there's only one right way. That's my way. That's how some of us think. When there's one right way, it's God's way. So The analogy I'm going to use this morning for ride it is when you're rafting and your boat flips and everything's out. The people are out, the paddles are out, the oars are out, the gear's out, lunch is out. Yeah, ooh. So somebody has to get on top of the boat and right it. Which, as a guide, they would have this little carabiner strap thing on them, and they would go hook it to the line that goes around the boat, the perimeter line. Then they would walk backwards on the raft until it gets tight, and then put all their weight into it and have to jump back in the river to get the boat to flip upright again. I've never had to do it myself. But sometimes in our life, and for all of us, we start this way because we're born into this world of sin. Our boat's upside down. And we got parts and pieces floating everywhere. But God's so good. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to right our raft. So we could begin picking up the pieces. Begin getting our gear back together. Begin getting our life back together. Because when you're whitewater rafting, it's pretty fun, and everybody's laughing, and you go through a big rapid, and there's usually a high five and a woo-hoo, or something of that nature. Or you're scared to death and crushing your oar in your hands or your paddle. But it's usually a lot of fun if you're on top of the raft enjoying the ride. But when life happens and our boat capsizes, there's some things in us that need to be righted. And Jesus comes in and makes all things right again. Isn't that awesome? So we're going to jump into some scriptures today to see how right God makes us, or rather, how right God is, and how we can use the right side of the cross to help us along in our lives. First verse we want to look at is Romans chapter 3. And I'll have to apologize, I didn't get them to the sound booth, so you won't see them up there. So you have to get out your hard copy or your digital copy. Romans chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Romans 3, 3 and 4. What if someone were unfaithful? Will their unfaithfulness nullify God's faithfulness? How often do we see this in our world today? A human messes up and people blame it on God. People say, why would God do that? I wasn't paying attention driving. I drove in the ditch. God didn't do it. I went into the rapid sideways in my life and my raft flipped. God didn't do that. But what does it say in 4? Not at all. So regardless of what I do or what I mess up, God is still God and He's still good and He's still faithful. Let God be true and every human being a liar. Let God be true and every human being a liar. If we're going to do things right, God is right and I'm wrong. So if my right doesn't align with God's word and His truth, then He's right and I'm wrong. It goes on to say, as it is written, so that you may be proved right when you speak and prevail when you judge. Of course, talking about God, not us. But God is right. We have to get that into our brain. So many times people say, well, if God will come around to my way of thinking, I'll serve Him. We're really wrong. We're really messed up. We need to come around to God's way of thinking so we can be right. Because He is true, and every human being a liar if we don't line up with the Word of God. So God wants to right our life. God is willing to right our life. But sometimes we go through life thinking we're right, and really we're wrong. Back when I first started guiding, I was over up in the headwaters of the North Fork, and we would go to Missoula to get our clients. And of course, this is back in the Stone Age when you still like hand wrote letters and sent them in the mail. And you better do it 5 days ahead of time so it has time to get there. And so you would have to correspond months out And we had these two elk hunters named Dale and Bob, and they were booking their elk hunt, and they were going to arrive at Missoula on this flight at this time on this day. And of course, we're in the backcountry hunting and guiding, so you make those plans months and ahead of time. And you know on October 9th at 8 a.m., they're showing up, and we need to be there. And there's not... Are you in the airport yet? Have you landed? Oh, are you getting off the plane? Okay, I'm the guy in the blue shirt, camo hat. Come find me. No, it's 8 a.m. So I have a cardboard sign waiting at the, you know, like you used to have to do before cell phones and such. Bob and Dale. How many Bob and Dales are getting off the plane? Just one pair. So I pick up Bob and Dale. We begin traveling back to the camp, which is about 3.5 hours away. And we're talking, and pretty soon I mention the name of the camp we're going into. And he said, "What'd you call the camp?" I said, "Oh, it's Boundary." He goes, "I don't remember any Boundary." I said, "Well, what do you mean?" I was like, "Well, you must have forgot, whatever." We talk a little more, and he goes, "No, we were going to, I forget what camp." He's just like, "Where?" I don't recognize the name he's given me. He's like, "Well, yeah, we were going there to hunt mule deer." And I go, "Wait, what?" I'm like, "We don't have mule deer in our area." He's like, "Yeah, it's a mule deer and elk hunt." And I'm like, "No, it's not." I'm like, "Where are you from again?" And I forget, I think they were Pennsylvania, Ohio, somewhere back in there. But they were from the right state. They had the right names. And I'm like, "Well, which outfitter are you with?" And they listed some Montana outfitter. I was like, "Well, this is BBRC." Had the wrong Bob and Dale. I thought I was right. Sometimes in our lives, we think we're right and everything's lining up and we think it's good. But if we don't stop and take a moment to compare against God's notes, His Word, the Bible, and say, "Am I really right? I should have put Bob and Dale, BBRC Outfitters." What are the chances? But you know what? The other outfitter took our hunters. You know, so I wasn't the only one. Because he did the same thing, had a Bob and Dale sign. I just got the first two off the plane, and he got the second two off the plane. But in our life, we think we're right, and we're going for it. We're heading to camp. And if we don't stop and evaluate and compare against who is really right, which is God, we can be led in the wrong direction for a really long time. And we can just be barely missing the mark, but we missed it. We flat out missed it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 30 and 31. "It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one boast in the Lord." So Jesus came to right us, His righteousness for us, came to make us righteous. He came to right us. Will you let Him right your life? You got to invite Him in. He's standing at the door knocking. So you got to go open the door and say, "Come on in, Lord. Lead me, direct me, guide me, show me." He's here to right us. He's awaiting an invitation. And each and every day I have to invite Him into my life again. Say, "Come on in, Lord. Show me the error of my way. Show me which Bob and Dale to pick up today, because I obviously don't know." He's there to guide us. He's there to help us. He wants to right us for our sake, for His glory. Will you invite Him in today? Romans 8:34. Romans 8:34. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Is that exciting? Jesus didn't just ascend back into heaven and go eat grapes and have palm branches waved over him, waiting for us to pick him. And he could sit in the seat of judgment already and condemn us and say, well, Arby's unworthy. Look at what he's done with his life. What a mess. But no, instead, he goes to the right hand of the Father. He says, I'm going to sit on your behalf so the Father can look through me and my perfectness to see you or us, humanity. So the Father looks on us with love. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father for you and I. That's exciting. That's something to celebrate. He's petitioning for you and I. He hears our prayers. He hears our needs. And he takes them to the Father. He says, Father, will you do this for them, for me? He's there on our behalf. No other God in the world does that. No. No other God in the world. Jesus is at the right hand on your behalf. You need to know that today. He's interceding for you. When it looks like everything's going wrong, the raft's upside down and you got stuff strung everywhere, it's called a whitewater yard sale. Jesus is interceding so that your raft can be righted, so that your pieces can be put back together, so you continue on your journey, the enjoyment, the fulfillment of life. Psalms 32:8. There is a right way of doing things. There is a right way of doing things. Psalms 32:8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Do you know God will instruct and teach you? But you've got to ask. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. If you want instruction, if you want teaching, if you want counsel, seek God for it. He's the number one that knows all. He's really a know-it-all. Like, he doesn't just think, he is a know-it-all. Seek him. He says he will be found by us. He doesn't hide from us. He's not into playing games. He's there. He's available. But we have to seek. I was in the mountains this week on my walk with God. I thought, you know, you'll never know what you'll find out there. And so I'm hiking and out of breath and my legs are dying. And so I sit down on this big rock and I get my binoculars and I'm glassing around. And I see this elk antler only 1,000 yards away. You know, it's just right there. So a mile and a half later, I'm able to hike across these ridges and through these draws to get to this elk antler that's only 1,000 yards away. But if we will seek for things, things of God is what we're talking about today, right? The right things of God. We will find them. And it might be a journey to get there. I was traveling through the canyon like, no wonder there's no elk that live in here. This is nasty. It was blowdown city. It was steep. It was rugged. It was ugly. Sometimes it takes a journey to find what we're looking for. But we've got to keep putting one foot in front of the other. We've got to keep moving forward, keep making progress. There were some spots I had to climb 200 feet to get up around ugly stuff and drop back down. And my track looked like this on my GPS. because you couldn't just go straight through it because there were bluffs and big blowdown thickets. It was ugly. Sometimes in our life, when we're seeking God, the devil throws in a cliff, he throws in a blowdown thicket, and we've just got to navigate around it. We've got to keep moving because God has great things in store for us. Psalms 37, 23 and 24. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in Him. You want to have firm steps and know where you're going? Delight yourself in the Lord. Though he may stumble, he will not fall. That was not true on my walk. I stumbled and fell. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. The Lord says he'll give us firm footsteps if we'll walk in his ways, if we'll delight in him. But we've got to delight in him. We've got to take that time to get away with him, to get alone with him, to invite him into our situation. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. There is a right way to do things. Lean not on your own understanding, but trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. If you want to do things right, trust in the Lord. I was guiding this elk hunt 8 or 10 years ago, and the camp is about as big as this building, maybe, and the outhouse is out there in the parking lot a little ways. And it's in the mountains, so you just go through the trees, and there it is. And still by day 7, this guy's like, you know, where's that outhouse again? Which for me, it's like a highway. There's a trail to it. And you go to this big tree, and there's the trail, and you follow the trail, right? And you could think, wow, what a goofy guy. But I would rather he asked for help to get there than tried to find it himself and get lost and cost us a half a day or a day of hunting because we have to go look for him now. God doesn't mind you asking questions. He doesn't mind you coming to him day after day after day after day after day, requesting, requesting, requesting. He doesn't mind us coming back. He says, I want to give you firm footsteps. I want to give you a path to walk on. I want you to trust in me. I want you to confide in me. I want you to invite me into your situation. I want to spend time with you day by day by day. He doesn't mind. He wants to be involved in your life, but you've got to invite him in. Even if it seems silly. It's like, really? You can't find the restroom? Come on, I'll show you. Right? And I would always walk him until you could see the building. I said, hey, if you need help coming back, you just yell. I'll come find you. Don't wander off. God doesn't want you to wander off. He wants you to call on him. He wants to be your help. You know the difference between right and wrong? It's not a trick question. I mean, just... right is right and wrong is wrong, right? And who's right? God's right. So God's way is right. James 4, 17. You thought you were getting set up, didn't you? James 4, 17. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Not just doing bad things is sin, but knowing what you should do and not doing it is also wrong or sin. There's some good things we should be doing that we're not doing. That is also sin, just as bad as going out and committing sin itself. There is a right and wrong. God's way is right. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 33 and 34a. First Corinthians 15, 33 and 34a. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. It's just good sound truth of God's word today. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. God's always inviting us. Jesus is always inviting us back. Come on, let's right your raft. Let's make things right again. He invites us in all the time. What are some other rights? How about human rights? Do we have rights as humans? We think we have a lot of rights. A lot of times our human rights create a lot of division. But what does God's word say about our rights? Proverbs 31, 8 and 9. Proverbs 31, verse 8 and 9. Speak up for those who can't speak for themselves. For the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. We have a right to do that. If you want to help people, if you want to do what God says is right. How about Galatians 3:28? There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free. Nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. How about that? It was sad. I saw a post this week on Facebook of a local gal talking about her child and being discriminated against because of the color of her skin. And that's horrible that that has to happen, that it does happen. Because there's only one race. It's the human race. And we're all the same in Christ Jesus. Regardless of anything, we are first in God's eyes, the human race. And we are made equal in Christ Jesus. There should be no discrimination. As humans, we have rights. Before any of our worldly rights, we have godly rights. Our godly rights say we're all equal. We have the right to be equal, to treat others as equals. What's another kind of right you can think about? Write it down. Right? You've got to write it. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. Try to say that five times fast. I'm losing stuff everywhere. Then the Lord replied, "Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets." You're welcome to use your tablet today. Probably won't need a hammer and chisel like they did. "So that a herald may run with it." Do you write stuff down in your life? If you have goals, do you write them down? Do you just think about them? Most people that hit goals have written them down somewhere. Most people that don't hit goals have not written them down somewhere. They had an idea one day. The Word of God tells us to write it down. Make it plain. That's talking about from casting vision spiritually to the generations to as simple as, what are my financial goals? What are the goals for my marriage? What are the goals for my children? You can write things down. When I meet with couples in premarital counseling, I have them write down some goals for their marriage. It's like, what do you really want out of this? Do you want 5 good years and then a divorce certificate? Do you want 10 good years? Do you want 20? Do you want 100? I don't think any of us will make that anniversary. But you got to get together. You got to get on the same page. You got to write them down. Write down, God, these are my family members I'm praying for, and this is what I'm believing for them. Write it down. See, it's right here in writing, God. You and I can both see it. This is what I'm asking for. Do you write your prayers down? Do you journal? Do you write your dreams down? What's God showing you in dreams? That's another way we can write. So we're going to look at 5 verses really quick. Like, we have the right to Colossians 3, verse 23. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. We have the right to work hard as unto the Lord in everything we do. Even when we pick up trash along the highway, we have the right to work hard at it. And enjoy it and do it as though it is unto the Lord. As simple as that. When we're doing dishes, when we're working for our employer, we have the right to work hard. That's what the Word of God says. Philippians 4, verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You have the right to think about such things. That should be going through our mind. Not whatever we want to be in there. The right thing to think about, God tells us right here in His Word. Philippians 2, verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. You have the right to be humble, to use humility and put others before yourself. Those are some rights we have as believers in Christ Jesus. 1 John 1:9. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You have the right to confess your sins, and you have the right for Jesus Christ to cleanse you and make you whole again, or to right you, make you righteous because of what He's done. That's a right I highly recommend you take advantage of. Inviting Christ into your life, confessing your sin, making Him Lord and Savior of your life. That's a great right. And Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to end on this one right here. 31 and 32, Ephesians chapter 4. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. You have the right to forgive. Forgiveness doesn't make it all better, doesn't make the pain go away. Doesn't make the offense any less. But you have the right to forgive because Christ forgave you. Forgiveness is tough. Some of us have our walls. You can do this, this, and this to me, but if you do this, you're done. I won't forgive that. And to be like Christ, that's kind of what he did on the cross, right? I'll forgive everyone of everything except for... Oh, wait, he didn't list anything, did he? Oh, so you and I need to exercise our right of humility and decide there's nothing I can't forgive someone for. Because forgiveness is a choice. It doesn't mean it didn't matter. It doesn't mean it's all good. It doesn't mean I really like you right now. But it does mean I'm choosing to forgive you your debt of offense against me. Because Christ chose to forgive me of my debt against him. Are you guys glad we're ending on that one? You have the right to forgive. You have the right to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have the right to confess your sin one to another. God's got some great rights for us, and he wants to right us. So don't just think you're picking up the right Bob and Dale at the airport. Okay? No. Because through the Word of God, we can know that we're picking up the right Bob and Dale at the airport. So go into your week and write it. Whether you need to physically write it down, or you need to spiritually get alone with God and write your life, or you need to get together with another brother and sister in Christ and write your life, go this week and write it. Amen. Amen. I am the fabulous looking Wayne today, who's going to close.